There's a couple of things I stressed a lot last Bible study night, and I stress it a lot. And there's two verses here in Psalms 119, 105, and you're very familiar with it. I know that. Remind yourself that the Word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Right here, this is the flashlight of God right here. And wherever you're going, allow it to shine which way you need to go. And the other one I like to share a lot is Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 8. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust Him with everything you have. Everything. Trust in Him. And do not lean on your own understanding. Now that's so important because a lot of times our own understanding we lean on. We take it over what the Word of God says. We don't understand what God says. We don't understand how it can work. Well, God says to do this, but I don't see how that's possible. I can't do that. But He tells us right up front, do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Again, as we enter this new year, great, great words from the Lord. Fear the Lord, turn away from evil. He didn't say embrace it. He didn't say be sorry for the evil that we do. He says turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body. Amen? Amen. Healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. And we all can use that, can't we? Healing, refreshment to your bones. But do not lean on your own understanding. So when you hear the Word of God and you don't understand it, there's nothing wrong by saying, I don't quite understand that. Okay, He wants us to understand it. We need to search it. We need to study it. And through prayer and fasting as we get into that, He'll reveal the Word to you. It's not, don't ever feel bad to say, well, I don't understand. Because it's a lot to understand. The more we study it, I won't understand everything until I get to heaven. He'll make everything known then. And so we say, well, I don't understand how that works, Pastor. Well, I might not know either how it works, except that God says to do it, and it'll work out. It'll happen. You know, last week as we unpacked the suitcase God packed for us, I said it was the Holy Bible. And as we unpack His Word and read His Word and hear the Word and study His Word, what happens? Faith. Remember that? Faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17 is that verse. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more we hear the Word of God, the more we study the Word of God, the more faith we'll have that it will work. Okay? It just, you know, it's the law of God. Study the Word of God, and the faith will come to you. So we know, as we hear the Word, it will increase our faith. But I asked you this morning, how do we strengthen our faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. But how do we strengthen the faith that we have? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Your faith will increase, but we need to strengthen it. And we take a second look at the disciples. For 3.5 years, the disciples were hearing the Word. Amen? They were living the Word. They were greater than any of us could imagine. They were living with the Word. John 1, 1 and 2, and 14. Again, if the Word, hearing the Word, increases your faith, the disciples lived beside the Word for 3.5 years, 24/7. Man, you think, what great faith they must have. Amen? John 1, 1 and 2, and verse 14 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. And 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. You talk about increasing your faith, but again, I say, how do we strengthen it? How do we get stronger? Let's say, Oh, look for someone to pick on. Let's see. But I don't see. It's sad when I look out in the congregation. I don't see anybody smaller than me. Okay, let's go this route. Let's say I weigh 120 pounds. I know, it's hard to imagine that. I weigh 120 pounds. Stand up, Daryl. I'll pick on you. Imagine Daryl is 180 pounds, okay? I'm 120, I know, okay? And Daryl comes to me every day. Every day, and he picks on me. He comes. What's that? He comes, and he takes my lunch money. Where he comes, where I'm working at, he steals my lunch box. He breaks in my locker, and he pushes me around. Push me around, Daryl. Push me around. See, obviously, you know, I don't like that, you know. Again, go ahead. You got, well, just don't punch too hard, okay? Yeah. But I get sick and tired, and push me again. I just get tired, and you get tired of keep on going. Just, I'm getting tired of this. He weighs 180 pounds, weighs 120 pounds. I'm getting tired of getting knocked around all the time. Getting tired of getting picked on. So I decide, I'm going to grow. I'm going to increase my mass. You know, I'm going to get bigger. So I start shoving donuts down my throat. And I eat bananas, milkshakes. I'm going to get up to 180 pounds. I'm going to increase my size. And when I do, I'll tell you what, this man here is going to pay the price, right? And so I start eating and eating and eating. I'm shoving bananas in, milkshakes and donuts and cream sticks and everything you can think of, eating and eating and eating. And I start to grow my mass. I start getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And Daryl still did. He still shoved me around. So I keep shoving donuts in my mouth. Sooner or later, when I hit 180 pounds, I'm going to clean his clock. But finally, one day happens. I get on the scale. I weigh 180 pounds. I am. Whew, my mass has increased, Bob. I'm humongous. I go up to Daryl. I said, buddy, you've been picking on me too much. I've been quiet lately, but I tell you what, I'm sick and tired of you picking on me. I get sick and tired of you taking my lunch money. You're coming against me and my family. I'm your size now. I'm going to whoop your hind end. Okay? So I go up to him and I go, boom. My. Boy, he just throws me back. I don't understand. You weigh 180 pounds. I weigh 180 pounds. Man, something's wrong. I just can't. Wow. Wow, I remember something about you, though. Every day after you steal my lunch money, I see you down in the gym working out. You're lifting weights. You're jogging. You're running. Man, I increased my mass, but I didn't increase my strength. Man, now this mass I have, if I can increase my strength, it'll be a different day coming, buddy. Okay? Now I know the secret to his strength. So I go into the gym after he leaves, of course, for a while. And I lift weights and I jog and I pump iron and stuff. I still maybe shoving the donuts in. Boom, 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 boom. But now I'm bulked up. Boom. 180 pounds. I'm solid muscle now. And I come up to you and everybody. No more. I'm increased. I'm strengthened. Get out of here. And I got him now. I got him now. Okay? But first of all, I had a desire. Number one, I got sick and tired of being picked on. I get sick and tired of not enjoying the life that I had. I get sick and tired of him coming against me and my family. So I thought, well, increase my mass. Increase myself. A good idea. I increased the mass, but I did not increase my strength. So by eating more and exercising more, I brought my muscles up to where I could take care of Daryl. Have a seat, Daryl. See, actually, I could probably eat enough donuts to hit 240 pounds. And you know, getting that much mass, you do get a little more leverage, you know. I mean, I was 144 pounds a couple of years ago, hard to believe. I got more leverage now. I mean, if I fell on top of it, it would be harder for you to get me off, okay. But the strength's not there. It's through the weightlifting and stuff. Two wrestlers come together to compete. And yeah, I thank my wife for this one because I was going to dress up like a sumo wrestler. But she said, ah, Starkey, you don't need that today.
It wouldn't be a pretty sight.
It wouldn't be a pretty sight. Back up here, Daryl. Okay, we're wrestlers. Now, I'm talking about college wrestling, high school wrestling. I'm not talking about the stuff you see on TV. Okay? I'm talking about real wrestling, you know. The other stuff, I'm sorry, some of you guys find out, is fake, okay? Vicky, I'm sorry, yes. Take off your Hulk Hogan posters from the wall and stuff. But we are wrestlers. We're competing to one another. We go and we study the same moves, the same geometry figures and stuff, and all this, leverages and stuff. You ever wrestled before? All right, no. Put your arms on my shoulders, right? Okay, here we are. We're going to start off wrestling. Now, we all know the moves. This is wrestling. We're not dancing, okay? But we know it. We know the moves, and we keep watching each other. And if you're ever going to fight anybody, watch their eyes and watch their belly button. So seriously, where the belly button goes, that's where the leg's going to go, okay? But I keep watching. I know, man, I know the moves. I know the moves. I heard you're pretty tough. He takes me down, and he pins me. Wow. We're in the same weight class again. We all know the same moves. We study the same things. We know how to throw and roll and boom, boom. But what happens? Again, Daryl's got the strength. He's got the strength. Even though we study the same, we know the same moves, all that. Because of his endurance, by his lift, weightlifting, thank you very much. Because of that, his dedication to that, even though we got the same moves, he's able to take me down and pin me. Amen? Have a seat here. You thought I was going to throw you there, didn't you? You know, you can't have more faith than what Jesus had, could you? Jesus had the maximum amount of faith, and Jesus knew who he was. But look what he did in order to strengthen his faith. Jesus Christ, 30 years old, was baptized. The Bible accounts how the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus like a dove and rested upon him. And soon as that happened, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. For what? Were they going hunting? Led him into the wilderness. And what did he do? He fasted for 40 days. If you have your suitcase with you, your Bible, Matthew chapter 4. And sometimes what we want to do as we read scriptures, as we read the Word of God and study the Gospels and we see what Jesus did, and you say, well, he could do that because, you know, he's Jesus. He's the Son of God. But folks, he is no different at this point than us in the physical form. He come in the physical form. He left all his kingdom rights in heaven. He didn't come down with any of his glory, if I can say it that. He came into human form like you and I are now to show us what can be done through the Holy Spirit. To forgive us of the sins. Jesus was baptized age 30. He started his ministry. In Matthew 4, he writes the account of this. He says, and Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So right away, he knew that he was going to be tempted by the devil. Why did he know that? Because the devil knew what he was there for. The devil, Satan, knows Scripture. Understand that. He knows it, okay? And he knew what Christ was there to do. He doesn't have all understanding, but he knew the accounts. He knew Isaiah. So Christ knew as he entered into the ministry that Satan would be coming against him. Or Christ knew once he was filled with the Holy Spirit, or once he got born again, that Satan would be coming to tempt him. And what the Holy Spirit did, led him out into the wilderness. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became hungry. Hungry. And the tempter, which is Satan, came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And Jesus answered and said, but it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, I'll stop there for a second. This is the Son of God. Been on the earth 30 years, getting ready to start the ministry. He's fasting. He fasted for 40 days. He received the Holy Spirit as it came down when he was baptized. Amen? Okay, we ascended upon him. After 40 days, his faith has increased, but has been strengthened through what? Through fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer. And Satan brought Scripture back to the Lord. He looked at Jesus and he says, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones become bread, because they know nothing is impossible for God." But Christ is there in the flesh. He is there as we are to show us what we can do through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. And he says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." The Holy Spirit brought back to him what he had heard before. He saw in Deuteronomy 8:3 where Christ had read it before. He never read the New Testament because it wasn't written yet. But the Word of God came back to him because of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says that he will bring back. Christ calls the Holy Spirit the Comforter. He says the Comforter shall cause you to recall all these words I've spoken to you. And now he has taken Scripture and taken it back to Satan as Satan comes against him. He says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he says, saying the same thing to us today. That we don't just live on bread alone, but we must live upon every word that comes out of the mouth of God to live on it. Not just have it for your dessert, but to live on it. Allow it. You know, the bread, physical bread will give you strength to walk, but the Word of God will guide you where to walk too. And if you're walking without the Word of God, you're not going anywhere. So we got to study this Word and allow it into your life. And as you fast and as you pray, your faith will increase. And how do we please God? Faith. By faith. Then the devil took Jesus into the holy city, which would be Jerusalem. And he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, looking out. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to Satan, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Deuteronomy 6:16. Again, Jesus is in the flesh like us. He was offered all kind of stuff. They say, "Hey, wait, you don't put me to the test." Well, he said, "You don't put the Lord thy God to the test." And he says the same thing to us today. Okay? A lot of things Satan, this world will offer you, but they're not of God. They might sound for a moment, man, that's great power, or you have a great time, great housing, or whatever it might be. But if it's not of God, it is no good. Remember John 10:10. Thief come to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen? You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And again, the devil took Christ to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, "All these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Again, Christ is bringing back Scripture. Gone against the evil one, speaking the Scriptures. Deuteronomy 6:13 and 1 Samuel 7:3. He says, "Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came to minister him. You shall worship your God and serve him only." For 40 days, Christ fasted. He knew that the tempter was coming. He knew that Satan was going to try to stop what God had called him to do. And he needed to be strengthened. He had faith. He knew who he was. But he had to strengthen that faith. And he did that through prayer and fasting. And he did it when? He did it before the evil one came, before Satan came to tempt him. He didn't wait till he was tempted and start trying to fast. He worked out before the fight started. Okay? Because he knew the devil was coming. And today we stand here as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, and we know the same thing. The devil is coming after you. As a born-again Christian, not as a chair sitter, but as a born-again Christian, if you've given your life to the Lord and He lives in you, Satan is still doing the same thing. He's coming after you. That's not to scare you, that's just to tell you the truth. Okay? But Satan ain't nobody. You understand that? He's a fallen angel, removed from the kingdom. See, him and Christ hung out together. They were in heaven together. They knew one another. They knew one another. Christ knew his character. He knew he turned his back on God. He knew he was fallen from God. He knew that he had no power over him as long as he stayed in his faith and true to God. And today the same thing. Satan's coming against us. He's trying to take down the church. He's trying to distort the church. Amen? You see it all the time. They're rewriting the Bible. Preachers in the pulpits preaching stuff. Everything except the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're saying, whatever you're doing is fine. That is the evil one coming in. Into the pulpit, into the churches. God has not changed. He's still the same today as he was yesterday, and tomorrow he'll be the same. Satan doesn't have any new tricks. What he's done in the past, he repeats over and over again. And as we do the same as Jesus, as we study his word, and as we fast and pray, we are strengthened. And we'll overcome the evil one. Oh, it has to be scary. It gets scary at times, don't it? But you see something coming your way, you find people are talking about you, they're insulting you. All you do is love them, but they're coming against you. And man, you say, oh, I don't know if I can go through it or not. You're about ready to give up at times, you know. I'll never see them again. I'll never talk to them again. But wait a second. As a Christian, we're not called to run away. We're called to take a stand and share the gospel. I imagine Jesus many times wanted to give up. You know, being in a human form, he might say, oh man, I'm not going to go through this anymore. But then he remembered what he was here for. He was here for us. To save us. And we receive that salvation. Now we're here for the next group. To spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Christ shows that through fasting and prayer. Now what would happen if Jesus hadn't fasted? You know, if he got baptized, walked down the street, the next thing he ran into Satan, he brought all this stuff to him. We don't know, but we know he's in the flesh. We know he shows us that, again, through prayer and fasting. And I talked, you know, Thursday night I made a comment that, you know, people shut your ears down when you start about taking away your money through tithing and taking away your food through fasting. A lot of people quit listening to the preacher. But this is the Word of God coming to you. It shows you what we need to do. In Mark 6, 7. As you turn, I wanted to share that, you know, through fasting, it strengthens our faith. When we fast and pray, God will do a lot of speaking to us. God speaks to us through reading His Word while we're fasting and gives us greater understanding, which in turn increases our faith. But Mark 6, verse 7, he's talking about Jesus. He says, and he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs, two at a time. And he was giving them authority over the unclean spirits. Wow. These disciples have been hanging out with Jesus now for a few years. He turned them loose and gave them authority over unclean spirits. Wow. Isn't that awesome to have that? Wouldn't it? Okay. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? And I respect our persons. We come into to Him through His blood to forgive us of our sins. You can say He does the same thing to us. But again, and He was giving them authority over the unclean spirits. Gave them the authority. Okay? Keep that in your mind. They have the authority. Matthew 17. You may ever get sick and tired of Satan coming against you. You know, come against you and your family. You get tired of seeing your family members being tormented, taken captive, some of them addicted to drugs, whatever it might be, or even yourself. You get sick and tired. Man, you just can't overcome it. You try and try, and you pray and pray, but you're still stuck in whatever it is right now. But He's given us the same authority. We have authority over the evil spirits. You know, there's spirits of depression out there, alcoholism, homosexuality, pornography, spirit of lying, everything you think of, man, are out there. They're coming against us. And if they can get a hold of you, if a spirit can grab a hold of you for a while, and you keep feeding that spirit, it'll grow, grow, and grow. Understand that. And if you resist them, But the Bible says to draw closer to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So you find yourself getting overwhelmed by this one sin that, man, I just can't get out of it. You know, prayer and fasting is a way to break free of that. But Matthew 17, now keep in mind that Jesus has given them authority over evil spirits. Matthew 17, verse 14, it says, and when they came to the multitude, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, and he is very ill. For he often falls into the fire, and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. They couldn't cure him. And Jesus had already gave them authority over the evil spirits. And Jesus answered and said, oh, unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, the spirit. And the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, now notice that they came privately, you know, they wanted to know. And, you know, and Jesus, well, I see here too that he spoke to them privately. He did not insult them in front of other people. They brought them together. He brought the congregation together, his followers together. And when they asked this question, they says, why could we not cast it out? Why can we cast out the spirit? He gave us the authority. And Jesus said, because of littleness of your faith. Didn't say they didn't have any faith. He said, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, and he looked over here and saw these mountains they were standing by, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move. And nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Okay? It doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. I'm going to stop there for a second because some of us, we have a distortment on that. And what Christ is saying, and I'll ask Joe, who's going to come up to you tomorrow and tell you their son's a lunatic? Well, they might do that, I guess. And they want you to pray for him. Do you know anybody yet? You don't know, no? Do you, Pat? Do you? Kenny, do you know anybody? No. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And here's the disciples out there, and they went out like Christ sent them out, with twos, and having authority over the evil spirits and stuff. But they came up to one. They wouldn't obey him. Wouldn't obey him. So I wonder how far difference from the time he gave them the authority till they encountered this one. And Jesus said, this one will not come out except through prayer and fasting. But he says, oh, of little faith. Oh, of little faith. See, in order to increase their faith, they hear the word of God. But he's saying, in order to strengthen their faith, it comes through prayer and fasting. It wasn't that prayer and fasting sent the evil spirit out. Prayer and fasting increased their faith that when they laid hands on that boy, it will leave. That's a very important part, and I hope you get a hold of that again. Given the authority to cast out evil spirits, we do that through faith, but of faith are increased through prayer and fasting. And you know, sometimes we think, well, boy, Daryl's got this evil spirit in him, around him, or I'm going to pray for this person or that person. I'm going to, you know, fast all day today and pray. And what that does, prayer and fasting will increase our faith. And as we pray in faith, it causes things to operate. Do we understand that? That is so important there. So what you want to do, Kenny knew it was going to happen tomorrow. So he stays in prayer and fasting. You know, a lot of times, in fact, it's in the bulletin for this Monday. a day of prayer and fasting, to pray and fast tomorrow. It builds up your faith. You know, we'll pray for those on our prayer list, but also what comes our way. You know? And prayer, fasting, as it builds up your strength, your faith, it continues to grow. It's not, you know, you do it one day, then you lose all that you had. No, it continues to grow and grow and grow. See, Christ went, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And he gave him the strength to overcome anything that came his way. It's the same with us today. Now, Mark also has an account on this. If you go to Mark 9. Mark 9. I know for some of us, you know, for a long time, we've been praying. We've been, man, I just don't understand why I can't get this person set free. Or I can't get set free. I mean, and the element we're missing out on is how important fasting and prayer is. And we think, well, Pastor, I mean, what's the big deal about giving up a hamburger or passing up this or that? Because, number one, God said to. Christ said to. And the reason it's so, it works, if you go back in Genesis, I think it's chapter 3, is when man fell. When man fell from the grace of God, the evil one, what did he use to take man down? He had an atomic bomb? No, he had the new edition of 100 magazine to spend all your money on new guns? No. He used food. Think of that. Think of this. If you think of all the ways that I could have been taken down as a cop for 30 years. You think of all bank robbers. You think about all this stuff that could take me down. And can you imagine someone handing me an apple and I ate it and it would have destroyed me? You wouldn't expect that, would you? You wouldn't. But Satan offered Adam and Eve, the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God already told them not to eat it. Don't bother it. The minute you touch it, you'll surely die. Had it all up front. But Satan used it anyway and it destroyed Adam and Eve in the garden. They were removed. So now God comes and he says, okay, food destroyed you. We'll let food build you back up again. Okay, Satan, you think you're wise? Okay. My creation, my children, you give up food. You fast. And you pray, and I'll strengthen you, and you'll overcome this, and you'll kick Satan out of your life. When he comes against you, he'll be removed as you pray and fast. That's why it works. That's why it's fasting. You know, giving up food. And there's seven different types of fasting that's in the Bible, and we'll look at that in the future to come. But Mark 9, here's another account. It says, when they came back to the disciples... Oh, I'm sorry, 14. 14 to 29. We'll all read a different verse at the same time. We'll be done quicker, right? Okay. Mark 9, verse 14. When they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, Jesus, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, what are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered him, Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth, and grinds his teeth, and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it. Here we are again. He gave them authority over evil spirits. You cannot cast them out. And Jesus answered and said to them, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion. And falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, he says, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And I like when he says, well, you know, how long has he been doing this? What makes a difference how long has he been doing this? Well, when he said since childhood, now Christ has recognized that this is probably a generation curse that was brought down, and that's how he needs to pray. Okay? And that's a different teaching, I guess, also for you. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help. And Jesus said to him, if you can, you come to me and say, if you can do anything, all things are possible to him who believes. Man, do you believe I can do it? If you say, if you can, then might as well forget it because you don't believe. It goes back to our belief, our faith in him. We have to have that belief, have to have that faith in the Word of God for it to work. Immediately, a boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. And at times, folks, we need to do the same thing. We find a hard time believing. We cry out, God, I know you're right, you're true, but help me in my unbelief. Man, my mind is going one way. Satan's trying to take me another way. I know your word is true. Help me today in my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the clean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. Deaf and mute spirit. Christ knew which one it was, and he ordered it out. There's so many different spirits that come against us. That tries. I mean, a lot of our sickness and disease is because of unclean spirits. Spirits come against us. And some of them were sick because of declining world. You know, sickness and disease is out there. And it comes against us a lot. But a lot of times it can be an evil spirit. Especially for Christians, Satan do what he can to try to come against you. He'll take every method possible trying to shut us up. After crying out and throwing him into a terrible convulsion, meaning Satan threw him, or his evil spirit threw him into convulsions, it came out. And the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. When he came into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately. I want to stop right here a second. I'm going to go back to 26. After crying out and throwing him into the terrible convulsion, it came out. And the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, he is dead. What was living inside of this boy, the life that was in him, was removed by Christ. It's laying there dead, like he's dead. But see what's so important here, and don't miss this part here. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up. Come here. Raised him up. Now, if Jesus would have listened to that, okay, I did it, and walked away, that spirit would come back in that boy and occupy it again. In the same way in our lives today, is when we get break free of that addiction, whatever it is in our life, when we get set free from it, we need to have Christ in our life and keep him in our life, because the minute you throw him out of your life, Satan is waiting to come back in and habitat that same house. You know, if I evict Joe from the house today, and I don't occupy it, somebody's going to come along and come back in that house. Okay? If I want Joe out, but I want Kevin in, I need to get Joe out now and Kevin in there and keep Kevin in there. Otherwise, Joe's coming back. And you got Satan in your life and he gets out of your life. You keep him out of your life by staying in the Word and don't compromise that Word. One second and we take a break. I'm free now. Bam, he's coming back. Bam, he's coming back. And when Christ sets you free, you're free indeed, but you have to stay with him to stay free. Don't let Satan have you take a vacation. I didn't want to hurt this one time, Daryl. Man, yeah, I've been walking this Christian life for about 12 years now. I tell you, I'm going out tonight. I just want to go out and party a little bit tonight. You know, I'm going out there and smoke a little weed and stuff, you know, and just have a good time, just kind of relax. Do I deserve that? 13 years, man, I've been doing this thing. I've been tied all the kinds. I just one day break. Man, the minute you go out there, you open that door back up, and you're inviting Satan right back into your life. We cannot compromise. Don't do it for your job. Don't do it for your husband, your wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. Do not compromise that word one bit. Because the only thing Satan wants to do is come back in your life, have control of your life, and he wants to spit you up, chew you up, and spit you out. Right. And when he does that, he's going to leave you and come to me. He's going to try me. And on and on and on. We cannot compromise. But man, I tell you what, as soon as Christ set you free from whatever it was, keep him in your life. Don't walk away. I see too many people. They come and they surrender their lives to the Lord. And man, they just start following him, but then they get comfortable again. Oh, you know, it wasn't really the Lord that did this. It wasn't really, I don't need to do this. I don't need to hear the word of God anymore. I don't need to come to church. I can do things. I'm okay now, Joe. I'm okay, man. I had a tough time, but man, I got my job back, man. I'm off of drugs. I got my kids back, whatever it is. Thank you, Lord. I'll see you next time. And man, within just a few months, you can't even recognize them anymore as being a follower of Christ, but they still want to say that, well, they're a Christian. Why? Because they said a prayer one time. Right. And they're so distorted that just by saying a prayer changes everything. It changes you. When you ask Christ, He comes into your life. But you become a follower of Christ. And if you're not following Jesus, He's not there. You're being distorted, you're being deceived. Satan's the greatest liar there is. He teaches us that if you come to church on Sundays, God's up there in heaven. You've got the sheet out here. Where's Joe Crooker at today? Where is he at? Oh, there he is. All right. Joe's good for this week. And that God's up there taking attendance. And as long as he's got you marked down for Sunday service, man, you got it made. You know, that's the way he tried to teach you, right? Satan does. Satan tries to teach you, just go to the church, get your name on the roll, and you're okay. But man, we're not after attendance. We're after a life change. We're after a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know. Someday Joe's can't go. Joe goes down and see his kids once in a while. Awesome. Goes down there and shares his life with them. That's fantastic. Okay? He don't have to have his role. There's not attendance taken on Sunday. God looks at your heart. He looks at that you want to be here. You know that, guys? That you want a relationship with God. And if you don't have that relationship, if you've been coming and hearing the Word of God, it's a good thing to start to think about a relationship. You know that? You know, and we all, for most part, you know, my wife, you know, we saw each other for a while, then we started dating for a while, and then to my mother-in-law's great surprise, we got married. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? God can do great things to all those who love Him, right, Mom Griffin?
Yeah.
But Jesus says this also, is always consider the cost. Consider the cost. But it'll cost us here upon this earth. It'll cost us persecution. A lot of denial from friends, family members. I mean, I see in when Christ says that even sons against fathers and daughters against mothers and the family will split down. And folks, it's starting right now. You're seeing division among families because as a Christian, if we stand on the Word of God and share it lovingly, that people call us judgmental, they call it haters. And, you don't like my lifestyle, and you're being persecuted. Do not surrender. Do not compromise the Word of God. He doesn't want us to do that. But Jesus says in verse 29, this kind come out only by prayer. You think, well, now, preacher? The last account in Matthew says it comes out by prayer and fasting. And Jesus said just by prayer. What's the difference? There's no difference. In Christ's eyes, there's no difference between prayer and fasting. It's hand in hand. Hand in hand. If you're praying for something, that means it's important for you, right? And you want strength and you want power. So you fast as you pray. Every one of us should have a prayer and fasting life. I don't know if you do or not. I do. You know, I do. And as you encounter that, you're going to find more and more strength that you have. Your faith will increase. Because as you're fasting, whether a one meal, whether one day, whether it's a 7 day, 21 day, if it's a Daniel fast or complete fast, as you do that, man, your spirit is open more and more. You get greater understanding of the Word. You get your faith increase, you get more belief in that Word. And it's your faith, man. And when you walk in some place and you lay hands on somebody, or something comes against you trying to tempt you, man, you got strength and your faith raises up. Get behind me, Satan. I don't want my life. Get out of here. You have that strength to overcome it. And then as you continue on, some days you get up in the morning and you don't wait for Satan to come to you. You go after him. Get your hands off my family. No longer you're going to push me around. I was 120 pounds. I'm 180 pounds now. And I got Christ living in me. And you are no match for Christ because he defeated you at the cross, Satan. So get out of my life. Get away from my family in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's taken in the morning. When you raise up in the morning, what's on your heart? You just pray it out. You speak it. And know who you are. Satan will try to intimidate you. He will try to keep you to shut up. He'll do everything he can. But I'm telling you what, as a born-again Christian, that Holy Spirit lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ up from the grave, the same Spirit that came upon him when he was baptized, the same Spirit was on him when Satan comes and tempted him. And that Spirit raises him up to rebuke the evil one. It'll do the same to you and just allow him full access to your life. With God, all things are possible. Acts 19, and I'll close with this one today. I'll keep the other for next week. Acts 19. Now, I spoke a few times in the past about being a deputy sheriff and the authority given to me and the power given to me. And I would go out here in the name of Sheriff Rogers and I could arrest people or prevent things from happening because he gave me that power to do that. And I spoke about Daryl coming along, and boy, I like the idea. So he puts on a uniform. He looks just like Starkey does, you know. He wants to be like me and Bob, you know. I'm Bob. So he puts on the same. He loved it when he saw me and Bob take down a bank robber, or me and Bob did this or that. Man, I want that too. So there's so much that he gets the same uniform and puts it on. And he goes out there, and Joe Kirker's out there speeding him down the highway. So I'm going to stop Joe. I'm going to teach him a lesson. So he stops Joe, walks up to the car, says, "Hey, you're speeding. I'm going to give you a ticket." He says, "Well, what authority are you doing that with?" "The sheriff of Coshocton County." "Oh, let me see your ID." "Okay, because you got the right to ask the deputy for that." And what Darryl goes, he don't have it. He said, "You have no authority over me." Boom! And you leave. You got every right to do that. He don't have the authority. He acts like he does, but he doesn't have the authority. We see the same thing here in Acts 19:15. It says, "And the evil spirit answered and said to them," let me go here, let me start at 11. "And God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. But also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches." Otherwise, they're laying hands on those who are possessed by evil spirits and saying, "Listen, by Jesus who Paul preaches," they try to rebuke them out of their bodies. And the seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, again, they're laying hands and saying, "Come out of there! Come out of there!" And the evil spirit says, "Okay, I recognize Jesus. I've heard of Paul. But who are you?" Boom! Then the spirit's raised up and kicked his hind end. Because he was acting like he had the power to do so, but he did not. He was not a believer in Jesus Christ. He did not have that name and that blood that to protect him. He had nothing, but he wanted to act like he was somebody. And because he tried to act like he was somebody when he was nobody in Christ, he got kicked. And we need to recognize that today, that we do have the power. We do have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We have His blood to place over us to protect us. We have His word to speak and the Holy Spirit to strengthen us to speak. And what we speak shall be done in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we continue to possess that authority. Amen. Don't be scared. We are in a war. We're in a spiritual war greater than you could ever even imagine. But we have the nuke bomb. We have the bomb that destroys all. And that is Jesus Christ. He destroyed Satan at the cross. He's just like on a pre-sentence investigation. He just hasn't went to jail yet. And while he's still running around, he's still doing havoc. But we have the authority over him. And this year, allow that authority to raise up inside of you. Allow it to raise up in you enough that you say, "Okay, preacher, I'm going to do that. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray this year like I never have before. I'm going to seek that word of God. I'm telling you what, I'm sick and tired. Satan, you can't come get my family no more. I don't care if they're not in church today, but they'll be here tomorrow. They'll be here next week. But no longer are you going to have the authority over them. For Jesus Christ gave us back the dominion that we gave to you in the garden." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. God is awesome. Folks, there's still hope. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Continue to walk with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God is good. Woo! Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you. And may He be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face to you and grant you peace. May the Spirit within you rise up. May your faith be increased. And may Satan know your name. Know that you are a child of God. And may you be gracious. And look forward to the coming of our Master, Jesus the Christ. To Him be the glory. Amen. And amen.